Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
In Louisiana, the death of high school senior Blakely Weems after a car crash during New Year's Eve finally leads to an arrest. In Las Vegas, a man sues the Venetian Hotel and Casino after he is bitten on. Well, just wait till you hear this story. And in Detroit, the trial of James Crumley begins. These stories and more coming at you today, Friday, March 8th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Mike Agavino, and the guy in the middle was skipped because, unfortunately, guys, Woody had to, his father took ill last night, and so Woody had to be with him today. Hopefully, it's nothing serious. We don't know anything yet, but he's not going to be with us today. And our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family.
That's right.
Okay, Jim. So let's get in some crime time for a Freaky Friday. What kind of Friday is it?
It'd be a Freaky Friday.
Some crime time for a Freaky Friday.
All right. And we're going to start off in Louisiana and Walker Sr. Blakely Weems. This was an accident that occurred, and actually we're not going to call it an accident. It was a car crash that occurred on it was the early morning hours of New Year's Day. Actually it was 1 o'clock in the morning. She was at a traffic light coming off of an exit ramp into the city of Denham Springs on what's known as Range Avenue. And another driver was heading north on Range Avenue, which crosses the interstate off-ramp, and collided with Weems' car on the driver's side. Weems died as a result of that crash. And it was a tragic event that really, y'all, touched the entire community here in Livingston Parish. But throughout the state, this became a huge concern primarily because there was not a whole lot of information after. Of course, police have to investigate these things, and they did not release hardly any information for quite a while. And they have released a statement finally on this case, and this was released on March 6th, and it came from the Denham Springs Police Department. And I'm going to read that statement. It's very important. To give you all the facts here, the Denham Springs Police Department responded to a motor vehicle crash on January 1st, 2024 at 1 a.m. at the intersection of I-12 and South Range Avenue involving two vehicles. The crash did result in a fatality. DSPD investigators determined a female juvenile was operating a white Honda Civic, came to a stop at the intersection of the off-ramp in South Range Avenue. The driver proceeded to make a right turn onto Range Avenue to travel northbound from a no-turn-on red lane. Investigators believe while attempting to turn northbound with a red light, the Honda Civic was struck on the driver's side by a Honda Accord traveling northbound. The investigation revealed that the Honda Accord traveling northbound was traveling in excess of 25 miles per hour over the 45 mile per hour speed limit. So that's 70 miles an hour, y'all. When the vehicles made impact. Toxicology results revealed the driver of the Honda Accord, now identified as Sean Robinson from Baton Rouge, had a post-crash blood alcohol content of 0.09 and also tested positive for the presence of marijuana in his blood. The female juvenile's toxicology report showed no presence of alcohol or illegal drugs in her blood. The Denham Springs PD was assisted by the sheriff's office in Livingston Parish, and they did what's known as a crash reconstruction. DSPD doesn't have their own crash reconstruction team, so they defaulted that to the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office, and that's how they were able to determine everything from where the cars made impact to the speed, which was very important in that case. And all the while awaiting results from blood tests, et cetera, to get this alcohol content hammered down. But that an arrest has been made, and you know, what a tragedy for all of us that have, you know, kids. That's your worst nightmare to begin with.
And I take that exact exit every time I come up to the studio to record with you guys. And 70 miles per hour at that spot is so reckless. I mean, I can't imagine what's going on in somebody's head when they're coming through that. I don't care if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, 70 miles an hour. You're going under the interstate. You have people exiting from both ends of, and also using the ramps to get on I-12 from both sides. And there's some uncomfortable, mergings that go on. There's a weird lane that breaks off and takes you to the left. It's not a place that you go fast.
Yeah.
Like I come in at a tremendously early hour. And so it's not like I'm in traffic on this ramp. You got to go slow.
Right.
And you got to make sure, that you're looking both ways, to make sure nobody's coming. But I've never seen anybody come fast through there because it's just such a obvious common sense. You can't drive fast there. And that's just 70 miles per hour is out of control for that spot.
It really is. And he was charged, incidentally, with second offense DWI. So this isn't even his first rodeo, in addition to vehicular homicide. So, there's finally information out on that, and obviously tragic loss, and you know, there's nothing I could say to that family to make it any better, but all I can do is pray, and that's what I do for them.
Yeah. And it becomes two lives lost. I don't know the kid. He may very well have been a decent kid, but you just one irresponsible moment like that, and your whole entire life changes.
Yeah, and there's too many options out there if you're drinking, you know, to get a ride home. Then
especially that night.
Drive.
New Year's Eve, getting a freaking Uber. Ugh. It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention, speech recognition, The True Accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she preferred to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Okay, well, let's go to Detroit, and we're going to revisit a story that has been in the news for years now because it all relates back to the 2021 high school shooting by Ethan Crumley at Oxford High School outside of Detroit. You may recall that last month his mother was put on trial. That's Jennifer Crumley, and she was found guilty on 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter. They separated the mother's trial from the father's. The father's name is James, and James is now on trial, and they are going through the jury selection process right now. And this case has major implications or potential major implications beyond the obvious ones confined to just this situation in Detroit, and Jim and I'll get into that a little bit. But so the trial's about to happen. James Crumley's the father of school shooter Ethan Crumley. To remind you, Ethan shot and killed 4 students and injured 7 others at Oxford High School, which is just outside of Detroit, in 2021. One of those injured was a teacher. He was 15 years old at the time, Ethan. He pleaded guilty to all charges against him and has been sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. In sort of a first of, at least a first of as it pertains to school shootings and not a case like in Virginia Beach where we had the six-year-old bring the gun to school and the mother was charged. This is the first actual mass school shooting where the parents have been charged as well as the child that committed the crimes. And Jennifer, as I said, was up first and she was found guilty. And that conviction marked the first time a parent had ever been held responsible in a mass shooting and may have opened a Pandora's box on this type of prosecution. And only time will tell. But on the heels of Jennifer's conviction comes the trial of James. We covered the case during Jennifer's trial pretty extensively, I think. And now James, you know, could become even more significant from a precedent standpoint if he is convicted. And it would seem to make logical sense that if one parent was convicted a month ago and the second parent is now facing the same exact charges, that likely James faces a strong possibility of being convicted here as well. But taking you back to the case, the reason why the parents were charged here is that Ethan Crumley had exhibited very concerning behavior, you could say for years, but certainly for months prior to the shooting and specifically days prior to the killings, including the day of the killings. And the behavior of the parents, the lack of responsibility taken by the parents, the lack of effort to get their son any kind of help, all of that is really what drove the charges against the two parents. So on the actual day of the shootings, both Jennifer and James Crumley were called into the school by school administrators, and they were shown drawings of that Ethan had made in class that were very disturbing. And basically, he was begging for help in the drawings. The drawings literally, one of them said, "Help," but also he drew a school shooting scene. And so you have someone who's drawing that kind of a scene, who's asking for help, and the school at that point in that meeting really handled it more like an intervention and said, "You have to get him help. If you don't get him help, we are bringing Child Protective Services in and going that route." And the parents at that point consented to getting him help, but they made the really strange decision of not leaving school with him in that moment. They left him in school that day. Well, Ethan already had the gun stashed in the school, a gun, incidentally, that was purchased by his father just weeks earlier and purchased with the, and this is a little bit of a debate, but with the idea certainly that it was bought for Ethan, that it was Ethan's gun. And so that'll be a big part of the case, just like it was with Jennifer. So we all know what happened once they left. They left Ethan in school that day. So the weapon used in those killings, as I said, was recently bought by his father. And his mother had praised Ethan in a text days before all of this happened in a situation where he had deceived a teacher. And you know, basically she condoned him lying to people at the school. And so that played heavily into her case. And look, any parent, I think, any responsible parent that looks at the behavior of these two parents in this case, I have a hard time thinking that they shouldn't be held accountable. There was every indication that they had a major problem on their hands with this kid. They didn't do anything to address it. The school approached it at first semi-aggressively, and then in the end, very aggressively, but it was it was too late by the time the school addressed it. So the jury selection process started, and something really unique and different than at least what is supposed to happen during jury selection happened. And that is some tactics that were used by the defense in questioning the prospective jurors, and a fight that broke out, verbal, not physical, between the prosecutors and the defense team over the way in which the defense team was questioning these jurors. So the defense attorney, Mario Lehman, zeroed in on perhaps the most damning allegation in the case, that James Crumley gifted Ethan this gun. To attack this narrative, Lehman asked multiple prospective jurors the following questions. If a parent buys a car for their teenager, and tells the child and their friends they just gifted their kid a car, does that mean that the kid really owns it, or do the parents own it? Multiple jurors said that they had done just that same thing, gifted their teenagers cars, but they were really the owners and could take away the keys anytime they saw fit. Lehman also focused on mental illness and asked prospective jurors to consider if it's easy to tell if someone is depressed or suffering from a mental illness, or can people battling such problems, particularly teenagers, hide these things? Multiple people said such illnesses can be hard to see. Lehman also zeroed in on the issue that has captured international attention, which is the parenting issue. She asked 15 prospective jurors sitting in the box how many with kids believe they are perfect parents, and nobody raised their hand. She also asked how many believed that they as parents, or that their parents, tried their best even when they made mistakes, and everyone's hand went up. And so at that point, she also got into the issue of what it means to intentionally give someone access to something versus passive access. The prosecution has alleged that James gave his son easy access to this gun, but James has denied that, maintaining that it was hidden, unloaded in an armoire, and that the bullets were stored in a separate location, in a drawer, not a part of the armoire. So Lehman asked the prospective jurors to weigh in on what it means to give someone access to something and offer their opinions on what it means to have a gun properly stored. And so at that point, it got pretty pretty aggressive between prosecution and the defense, and the judge actually stopped the process cold at that point. So we'll see. They've got 500 people, I think, they've called in order to sort through and try and seat 12 jurors. This is a different tack than the mother's defense attorney took, and so we'll see if that has any impact on any of this. But you know, I think the big thing to me here is that you know, I do think this is a case where the parents should be held accountable. One already has been, and I think it's likely that James will be. My concern is that this then becomes Pandora's box opened, and in every school shooter case from here on, there's going to be an immediate analysis of what the parents knew, when they knew it, what steps could have been taken, et cetera, et cetera. And we all know, because we are seeing it in real time, that that we've got basically O.J. Simpson juries forming all over the country, and it's about many times the jurisdiction that you are being tried in, not the facts of the case that are determining outcomes. And so I just get scared that this box gets opened and parents are going to be held accountable for not necessarily school shootings, but any number of crimes committed by their kids that they could be blamed for if we're going to make these kind of decisions to hold parents accountable for the actions of their kids. And so, Jim, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Oh, I do, actually. And look, this wasn't a 10-year-old. This kid was
15,
almost an adult. He was 3 years from being an adult. And a lot of times it may be news to a lot of people out there, but you can get all the help you want and bad shit still happen. School shooting in Florida, one of the worst school shootings of all time at the high school in Florida. That kid had been in therapy for years before he committed that crime. So do you hold the therapist responsible and say, well, you know, you were in therapy sessions with him and he was expressing this stuff and, you know, you're responsible. It is such a tough thing. And I look at it from both perspectives. I look at it from the parents' perspective of, hey, none of us as parents want to believe anything's wrong with our kids, especially to that level. And so, first of all, it's a hard thing to admit to yourself. It's an even harder thing to reach out for help because us as parents feel like we should be able to handle that, right? We know our kid better than anybody else. Now, this is a little different for me in the fact that he had these drawings, for example, which are a huge warning sign. But I have a question on that with, no, his parents did not take him out of school that day. Why did the school let him stay there? I wouldn't have let him stay there if I was the principal of that school. I'd have said, he's going home. We don't want him here until he gets help.
There's definitely another side of this, which is, did administrators at the school do enough? Should they have brought Child Protective Services in earlier? And you can definitely make that case
100%. And that's where the issue of precedent comes into play. Because if you can hold the parents accountable for their side of it, then you could hold the school accountable for their side of it. And then it becomes just an absolute mess. And nobody outside of this kid or almost adult intended for this to happen. I fully believe that those parents did not want him to go to that school and shoot up the school. It is a really tough, it's a very tough case to wrap your mind around because there are really two sides to that argument and both are good arguments. Us as parents aren't perfect, as that attorney said, and maybe they were doing the best that they knew to do, but I do agree with you that, you know, maybe they should have sought some help. There were some warning signs there. It's tough. It's a tough one. I do have a lot of concern about precedent, though, because if you can hold someone responsible for that, for a 15-year-old kid now, this is not a 10-year-old or 12-year-old even. This is damn near an adult. If you can hold the parent responsible for that, where does that end? And that's the kind of the scary thing for me.
No, it's the slippery slope is the scary part. I do think that this case, if it were truly treated as an exception and it's just an outlier and it's over here because you have parents whose behavior borders, you know, on neglect and a school that, as you said, didn't do things maybe the school should have done. But if it becomes the case everyone points to turn every situation that comes up that bears any similarity into it into the same kind of thing, then we're going to be seeing tons of these kinds of situations, not necessarily school shootings, hopefully, but tons of situations where the parents are held accountable for the behavior of their teenage kids.
And in a lot of cases had nothing to do with it. You know, maybe they were doing the best they could and that kid just decided to join a gang and, you know, or whatever the situation may be. So we'll keep you posted on it, I'm sure. Ever been to Las Vegas? I know you've been there probably a million times at least. I have been there several times as well, and I've actually stayed at the hotel in which this story I'm about to tell you came out of.
So the Venetian? Is that what you
said? It is the Venetian. A Southern California man is suing a luxury resort hotel in Las Vegas after he says he was stung by a scorpion on his testicles was in bed. That's what I said. Michael Faraci says while he and his family were sleeping at the Venetian's Palazzo Tower, he jolted awake in excruciating pain as he was stung. I woke up with a sharp pain in my private area. I was surprised. I wonder if he really said private area, if he just said, you know, balls. But I didn't know what it was. I reached my hand down to see what was happening under the cover and got another sharp pain. And then another sharp pain, he said. Farachi said he was stung at least 3 or 4 times by the scorpion, who was about an inch long. Its exact species and the toxicity of its venom is not clear. I put my eyeglasses on, and I was shocked that I have a scorpion over there hanging on my underwear. He was treated at a local hospital and filed a report with the hotel staff. And get this, y'all, he still had to pay for the room.
What?
Yes, they didn't even comp the room, Mike. In Vegas, where you get comps on rooms, slots. Palazzo didn't even apologize for what happened when I met with the hotel manager, and they just charged me for the room, the restaurant, and whatever else I used. No apologies, no nothing. So he's now suing the resort for an unspecified amount. He said the incident traumatized him. He still has lingering medical issues. Farachi's attorney, Brian Varg, says this is not the first time scorpions have been found in guest rooms at the Venetian. The resort told a local TV station that there are protocols for such incidents. Well, if you have protocols for such incidents, it's definitely occurred before. And theirs were followed on this one. And I want to shout out Lori Johnson for sending this story, but wow. Bit by a scorpion in the plums.
Okay, that's the worst kind of bed bug in history. But but something's funky here. This is I don't know who owns that one. It's one of the big owners, but that's
I think MGM maybe.
It's at one of the nicer. At one point, it was in the before a lot of these ones got built in the last few years. It was a top shelf resort there. There's many great restaurants there. There's no way that they just, if it was clear that this guy got stung in one of their rooms that way, there's no way they don't do the right thing.
Compliment.
That's freaking impossible. So I don't know.
So
I
think you're calling bullshit on his.
I'm saying it smells like the resort doesn't believe his story because that's such an easy the press impact alone of that story is orders of magnitude more damaging than comping a room to this guy. And
I would agree.
So there's got to be more. But man, is that scary about just. I mean, next time I'm in the desert going to sleep. In fact, you know, I stayed out at a guy's place in Possum Kingdom, Texas. It's a long story I won't get into. But when we first got to the house, he hadn't been there in a while. He lived in Dallas and had this place on this lake about an hour and a half outside of Dallas. And he went through and did a once-over of the house and came back and made us stand outside while he did it. And he came out with a mason jar that had, I don't know, 6, 8 scorpions in it. Mm. And he's like, I just had to do a check for critters before we went in there. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Look at those things. Wait, I'm going to sleep in this friggin' house. And you just found that many when you.
Right.
He goes, well, when I'm not here for a while, that'll happen. But we'll just keep an eye out. But you'll be all right. But man, that would scare the living crap out of me. But something's funky there.
Yeah. Well,
we'll see.
Maybe they'll pull out. But pictures
also, it was only 1 inch. That's a tiny one. That's a baby.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes the babies have the, like what rattlers are rousing. They have the most toxic venom. So maybe it's worse to get bit by one of those. But anyway, we're going to go to my old home turf, Long Island, for a really strange story that, unfortunately, again, there's a lot of blanks to fill in here. But you may have seen this over the last couple of days because it's been in the news. 4 people are in custody after severed body parts of a man and woman were found scattered around Long Island late last week. The arrest came on Tuesday after cops raided a home on Railroad Avenue in Amityville. That was on late Monday. They did
Amityville.
So I'll give you my thoughts on Amityville in just a bit. Although cops didn't find any human remains at the home, they did find some more dismembered limbs hidden in Bethpage State Park and in a wooded area of West Babylon, according to the Suffolk County Police. Authorities believe the newly discovered remains belong to the same two people whose body parts were found on February 29th, that's last Thursday, in a park in Babylon, Long Island. So Babylon, West Babylon, Bethpage, Amityville, these are all towns that are, well, Babylon was one town away from the town I grew up in. Shout out to my best buddy from Babylon High School, Kathleen Bondere. Hey, Kathleen. So these towns are all right next to each other. So they killed these people and then spread body parts, dropped different body parts in different, but they didn't bury them. They didn't try and hide the body parts. Yeah, the body parts were just right there for people to find. And
that's
and
crazy.
The original parts that were found on Thursday in Babylon were found by a young girl as she was walking to school. So although they haven't publicly identified the victims, they say the assortment of limbs belongs to a 59-year-old woman and a 53-year-old man. So if they know how old they are, they know who they are. They just haven't publicly said right. Who they are, right? Both of whom lived at the same address in the city of Yonkers. So the people that were killed were from Westchester County, which is more than an hour away from where they get killed, but then they get chopped up and spread around these different locations on Long Island. The apartment the cops raided was in Amityville. And Jim, you said Amityville before. Yes, that's the town the Amityville Horror was based upon. And it's also the town that Jaws, the book, was based upon. Yeah. You may remember in the movie, they called it Amity Island because they wanted to shoot on Martha's Vineyard. And so they had to make the setting an island, but it was Amityville in Peter Benchley's original novel. But the Amityville Horror House, a big thing for us to do in high school. And when you'd go there, there'd actually be a number of cars parked there is people would go and drink in their cars, you know, get a group of buddies and you'd yell at the ghosts. You just get out of the car and do stupid things.
That sounds like fun.
Stupid things to try and taunt the ghosts because it was folklore that was so bought into by everybody around that area because it all came out about the same time.
The
that,
actual house.
Yeah.
People live in that house?
I think it stayed empty for a little bit of time. It may now have been, you know, flattened for all I know. But yeah. People did. I mean, it's a story. Come on.
Right.
But anyway, the Suffolk County Police say based on the investigation, this appears to be an isolated incident. There's no threat to the public, but the investigation is continuing. They had not mentioned a motive for the killings. The police hadn't. But then NBC New York got an exclusive and they came out and declared that this was about a love triangle. And so if you piece together, well, they know who the two victims are from Yonkers. They made the arrest of these people at this Amityville apartment. And so they've obviously connected all of those people in some kind of relationship or three-way relationship. And it should just be a matter of, you know, a day or two before they actually clue us in because they've left other than this leaked report to NBC about a love triangle. They've not done anything that connected. They've not shared anything that connects the folks arrested in Amityville with the two people who were murdered from Yonkers. So anyway, that's where this thing stands at the moment. And when we get the rest of the story with the blanks filled in, we will share them with you. But
Yonkers.
Who, what famous serial killer was from Yonkers?
Ted Bundy.
Son of Sam, David Berkowitz.
Should know that.
From Young.
We did a whole thing on that.
So we got Son of Sam, we got the Amityville Horror, we got Jaws, we got a little bit of everything, including Kathleen Vonderay, wrapped into that story.
Ted Bundy was from Oregon, I believe, actually.
Somewhere in
Washington.
Midwest.
Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. A Waco, Texas man who installed an Apple AirTag on a woman's car to track her down has been arrested. 39-year-old Hugo Mendez is charged with unlawfully installing a tracking device. Police say a woman began getting AirTag notifications on her phone. She did not own an AirTag, so she became a little bit suspicious about that. After searching for an AirTag device near her, she eventually found a magnetic box attached to the underside of her vehicle. I would imagine, you know, back in the day, they had those magnetic boxes and you stick your spare key in them to your car, mm-hmm. and then, you know, stick them under your car. Nobody would look there, right? So probably similar to that. And inside that metal box was the Apple AirTag. Now, for those that are unfamiliar, that's a tracking device meant to keep track of personal belongings in the event they're lost. Since being introduced to the market, the nearly quarter-sized devices have been used for a lot of nefarious purposes, such as tracking would-be victims. The woman contacted police after learning about her findings. Police obtained a subpoena, and they serve it to Apple. And they later find out that the tracker belonged to Mendez. Police called Mendez, and he admitted to placing the device on the woman's vehicle. But he had an excuse. And this is where it gets interesting. He tells police he thought the woman hit his vehicle and fled the scene. So he followed the vehicle in order to find out who was responsible. After following the vehicle, Mendez told police he waited for the driver to return to the car, but they never did, and he had to go. So instead, he put the AirTag in a magnetic box and attached it to the vehicle. Yeah, I don't believe that.
Well,
for a second.
I don't know how long he had to concoct that story, but it's pretty good if it was on the fly.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he had it in his head in the event he ever got caught, because it's almost too, you know, it's a good excuse, but sounds like bullshit to me. Mendez was ultimately arrested because the police also thought that was BS, and he is held in the McLennan County Jail on a $2,000 bond. But this is the bad side of technology in a lot of ways. Especially, I mean, these things are a little bitty, size of a quarter.
Yeah, no, Apple's gotten there have been a bunch of stories like this, some with worse outcomes than this. That I don't know what they're going to be able to do to make this safer, but
it's a great device if you're using it for the right reasons. I mean, you've got maybe a valuable or something that, because it's small enough where it can be concealed and whoever steals it won't know that the AirTag even exists. Or I know people that use them as keychains for the keys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a great little device for that. But yeah, check the underside of your vehicle, folks. Pay attention to your notifications.
Some of the great technology becomes great technology for the bad guys to leverage. So
100%.
Seen a lot of that.
Yep.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Oh, let's go revisit yet again one of our favorite cases, the Scott Peterson, Lacey Peterson.
That would be your favorite case, Mike,
well,
not ours.
It's one of these stories that just never goes away. And last month,
We're all thinking the same thing.
Last month, the I-Team reported, Woody scoffed, but the I-Team reported that Scott Peterson's case could be getting a second look thanks to work on his behalf being done by the LA Innocence Project.
Mm-hmm.
And now a status hearing has been scheduled for next week. So there will be a, what is the date? The date is the 12th. It will be done before California Superior Court Judge Elizabeth Hill.
So that's Monday.
Is the 12th Monday?
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
No, my son's birthday was
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah. Peterson is not going to appear in person. He's going to appear on Zoom. He's 51 years old now, if you can imagine that. And he was convicted on two counts of first-degree murder back in 2004 and was sentenced to death in 2005. But in 2020, he was given a chance to face a new penalty phase trial after his death penalty sentence was overturned by the California Supreme Court. The reason it was overturned was because of a jury selection error by the trial judge. We'll get into that briefly. But the California Supreme Court also ruled at that time that a lower court should take a look at his case to determine whether his guilty verdict should be overturned because of that situation with the juror. So in 2021, Peterson's death sentence was officially vacated and he was resentenced to life in prison. In 2022, a San Mateo County Superior Court judge followed the 2020 California Supreme Court, which requested that the case be reviewed to determine whether Peterson deserves a new trial. So this request for a new trial was based upon the claim that a juror in the case, her name is Rochelle Nice, had lied during jury selection when she was asked if she had ever been a victim of a crime. She said no, but later admitted that she neglected to disclose that she had obtained a restraining order against her then-boyfriend's ex-girlfriend back in 2001. Nice also neglected to mention that she had a fight with her ex-boyfriend that resulted in her arrest. Peterson's defense asserted that Nice intentionally lied on her jury questionnaire and that she may have been a prosecution stealth juror. She may have been very aggressively seeking the conviction. The defense alleged that Nice's motive was to profit off of the case because after Peterson was convicted, Nice wrote 17 letters to him in jail. She also co-authored a book with other jurors and appeared on several shows, including the Dr. Oz show. But in the ruling that the San Mateo Superior Court judge, whose name was Anne Christine Masullo, made, she decided that Nice's misstatements were honest mistakes and resentenced him to life instead of the death sentence. So presumably the LA Innocence Project will present some of that same evidence about the former juror, as well as evidence supporting their alternative theory for the case. And that theory is that Lacey Peterson was killed after she witnessed men breaking into a neighbor's house across the street while she was walking the family dog, while Scott was on this solo fishing trip on Christmas Eve morning. They are also hoping to conduct new DNA testing on a blood-stained mattress that was found on December 25th in a burned-out van that was believed to belong to the people responsible for the home break-ins that were discovered in the neighborhood. So, and they're heavily relying on that. And look, I think there's no reason that if there is blood on the mattress found in that van that was the van used by the people that robbed houses in the neighborhood, what harm could come from looking at that blood? I don't know. But the investigation, they say, will determine if the item contained Lacey's blood, which could be argued links her back to the burglars rather than Scott. So put the status hearing on your calendar, March 12th, and hopefully we'll get to the end of at least another chapter of the Lacey Peterson, Scott Peterson story.
I hope so. Story's just played out for me.
So does Woody and the board.
And it is a Mile High Crime for Friday. And we're going to Waterloo, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Iowa.
Nope. Ontario, Canada's Waterloo. And they have a couple that is grateful to be back home after they say they were detained for several hours at Punta Cana Airport, accused of carrying drugs. Jamie and Dan Yank traveled to the Dominican Republic, and they go there often, but they had a problem this time around. Never had a problem before earlier this month. The couple said that their luggage was flagged at the airport before they boarded their flight back to Waterloo. Jamie said she and several other passengers were taken in for questioning. She said this is where she learned her luggage was being inspected for an illegal substance. When we walked into the room, there was a white substance on the table. They explained they'll be testing the product for cocaine on a cocaine test wipe.
That's what you would use a cocaine
What they said. Heinrich Anderson said his family were four of 12 passengers that were actually taken in for the questioning. It was his daughter, his 8-year-old, whose suitcase it was. So they asked for her as well.
Oh my God.
Anderson said the instant security tested the substance, the wipe turned blue, indicating it was positive for cocaine. So the daughter freaks out. She's grabbing, you know, the dad tightly, and it was obviously traumatizing to her. The passengers involved had packed, get this, a bag of Damperit, a moisture absorber, which can appear to look similar to cocaine. I actually have a Damperit that you hang in your closet and just, you know, it'll soak up a little moisture. Mm-hmm. The passengers involved had a bag of that Damperit, and the wife said she remembers turning to her husband and saying, "Am I going to Dominican jail tonight?" That was Jamie, his wife. And Scott Blanchard, a former police officer, said there's been a huge drug problem moving through several Caribbean countries, including the Dominican Republic. You're not in Canada anymore, and you can be liable and susceptible to their laws. The couple said they paid around $1,000 out of pocket to get home the next day, but they wonder how household product can be mistaken for illegal drugs. They were going to detain us based on a wet wipe, Dan Yank said. The couple said they purchased the same test kits police used and claimed the damp rig caused a false positive when they tried it at home. So last month, the University of Pennsylvania actually released a study showing that presumptive field drug test kits are known to produce false positive errors and were never designed or intended to provide what's known as conclusive evidence. At the University of Waterloo, chemistry professors actually discovered the pink cocaine test wipes contain cobalt thiocyanate, which turns blue when it comes into contact with cocaine. The test strips are packaged damp and will also turn blue when the moisture inside dries up. So when cobalt is wet, it is pink in color. Damperit is a dehydrating agent. It will suck moisture out of the environment or localized environment, such as a test strip. Once the Damperit touches the wipe, it will instantly turn blue and cause a false positive for cocaine. So moral of that story is don't pack Damperit in your suitcase.
Well, and so once they figured out what happened.
Well, they let him go.
Well, they had to go $1,000 out of pocket, which
to I catch a flight home the next day.
So the government didn't do anything to pay for their flights.
You would have thought they would have, though. But no, they did not. The Dominican Republic basically said, "You're on your own. We're sorry. It's not our fault."
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They must have gone to the same training program as the people at the Palazzo.
Yeah, that's the, you know, and it does. It could look like cocaine, and then you test it and comes up.
That's
the right color.
That's a crazy one. And an 8-year-old girl.
That's right.
We got a dummy. We got a dummy some people may have heard of. And I am betting that Jim, because of his vast knowledge of 1980s baseball, will remember today's dummy. Do you remember a guy that played for the Dodgers and the Cardinals named Pedro Guerrero?
Yeah, of course I do.
Very good player. It was four or five time All-Star. Yeah. And Pedro is a part of today's dumb criminals. In fact, Pedro is today's dumb criminal.
What?
And here's how. It seems Pedro tried to buy some yayo from an undercover cop. It was actually a lot of yayo from the undercover cop. It was 33 pounds of yayo he tried to buy from the undercover cop. But it turns out that Pedro is such a dumb criminal that Pedro's lack of intelligence was actually his defense in this case. Guerrero's attorney claimed that his client's IQ was so low that he didn't even realize he was involved in a drug deal.
Well, there's one defense.
Well, guess what? That one defense worked because Guerrero was acquitted because his IQ was documented as 70.
Oh, wow.
He had a 70 IQ. So I guess see baseball, hit baseball was as complicated as it got for Pedro. Right?
Yeah.
But I did hear that he is learning how to play the banjo at this point.
Yes, he is.
Acquitted because you're a dummy.
I don't believe he really had a 70 IQ. He probably failed that test on purpose.
Well, you know, people around the game probably, because back then you still didn't have a lot of bilingual coaches and people in management. The guy didn't speak any English. So a lot of the management of the team probably didn't know that.
Yeah. But 70 is really bad.
Yeah. I don't know the IQ scale well, but it's crazy that would get you acquitted. And I don't know the circumstances around why he was put in the position of trying to purchase the 33 pounds of yayo, but that's a good one. It's a good way out.
Yeah. Well, thoughts and prayers to,
yes, Woody.
Woody. And we will be back Monday.
Yeah, and I feel for him. He's got all those people in town, too, for the boar hunt. So I don't know how Woody's going to manage everything he's got to manage this weekend. But we're thinking about you, buddy.
All right. Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
And for Woody Everton, we're your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Aglats.
You got a fist bump, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.